There's one important characteristic of all the processors implemented in Core microarchitecture, and that is they're all multi-core machines, all multi-core processors. And you might ask yourself, well, if Intel is able to make these tremendous gains in energy efficiency and performance, why is it bothering with multi-core? Seems like it's making things unnecessarily complicated. And since I get asked that question so regularly in my travels, I figured it was a good opportunity this morning to share the reason with everyone here. So let me start. This is a simple example, and explain why multi-core is so important and such a key part of energy-efficient performance. Here's a typical processor. We'll declare it the unity processor. Everything is one about this, so one unit of power and one unit of performance. And we'll assume that it's operating at its maximum frequency given the underlying semiconductor technology. Now, this will set our power budget for the rest of this explanation. Now, you might say, well, we could make it go faster by raising the frequency. Let's say we did that. Let's say magically, regardless of the technology limitations, we were able to up the clock frequency by 20%. You know, what the tweakers do, right? We're going to overclock the design. So here's what happens. Frequency goes up 20%. Performance doesn't go up as much as that because there are other issues to consider. We have memory access times that aren't scaling with processor frequency. But the significant change is the jump in power consumption. And here you see, this is the right hand. I guess I have to do it here for you. This is the right hand bar. Power has gone up 73%. So we've seen for a very modest increase in performance, order of 13%, power is up 73%. Well, that's not a very good trade-off, and that's one of the reasons why we just don't turn the clock up, because it costs us tremendously in terms of energy efficiency. Now, the alternative to this, which may seem surprising at first, would actually be to turn down the clock. Let's say we were to turn down the clock 20%. Now what happens? Well, as you can see here on the graph, the power drops by nearly 50%, but performance is only down 13%. So for this dramatic reduction in power by simply lowering the clock frequency, we get a relatively modest decrease in performance. But more importantly, it opens up the power envelope. Now we have room under that unity processor power budget to add a second core. And this is exactly what happens. With the second core, power comes up just about to the same point, a little bit above where we were with our baseline processor, but performance is now up 73%. And this is the fundamental reason why multi-core is a key part of energy-efficient performance. You can't get these kinds of performance gains at this kind of energy level any other way. And we'll be continuing down this path in the coming years. You may have seen our announcement of the first quad-core processors. You'll hear more about them as well at this IDF. So the question is, are we going to double the number of processors again in 2008? Well, probably not. I think Intel's taking a relatively conservative approach here, focusing on single processor performance, single thread performance, because that's where most of the applications are today, and adding processors to take advantage of threaded applications as they come to market and as they get developed. So you won't see mediocre core performance simply for the sake of getting more cores on the die. As the community responds to multi-core architecture and those applications develop, we'll roll out additional cores. Of course, the key thing required, the key technology, the key development for exploiting multi-core processors is multi-threaded software. And this hasn't gone unnoticed at Intel. In fact, we have a major, major effort underway to support the development of multi-threaded software, a whole family of tools and technology to assist you, the developer, in creating these applications. It may be additions to our VTune technology, our performance analysis tool, so that you can look at the performance of multiple threads, make sure you've got them properly load balanced, or it may include thread-capable, thread-optimized math kernel libraries, and Intel performance primitives. So we've sort of taken that work, done it for you by multi-threading the key libraries in advance of your need. Now, many leading ISVs have already taken advantage of these technologies and these programs and are well underway to delivering multi-threaded software. And I really hope that at this IDF, no one goes out of here, certainly no software developer goes out of here, not committed to bringing multi-threaded technology to their products and their systems. The tools are there, the technology is there, the training is available here at IDF and elsewhere, and it's really time to get on board the multi-threaded train. So you might think, okay, great new core microarchitecture, wow, some amazing performance figures and incredible energy efficiency. Multi-core processing makes sense, a great way to add to performance while retaining energy efficiency. And finally, multi-threaded software is happening. The tools are there, people are learning how to do it, and the results are very encouraging. Have we left something out? Have we forgotten something? Well, you may have noticed one word has not passed my lips, and that's the word platform. And that's the next opportunity for all of us, taking a look at the rest of the platform and seeing how to extract yet more energy efficiency from the platform level. This diagram shows you today's power split in a typical server between the platform and the processor. It's nearly 50-50. But what happens when you bring core microarchitecture to bear on that typical server? Well, here you see the problem, the challenge, the opportunity. Processor power is now only a third of total platform power, while the rest of the platform is dominating the energy consumption. This is an opportunity for great improvement. Let's look at a typical system that's operating in idle mode. This would be common in mobile systems, obviously, but it could be quite useful in servers. So here the processor has entered a low power state, an idle power mode, but the rest of the platform has to stay up. Now, why does the rest of the platform have to stay up? Well, two reasons. One, the display has to be refreshed. Even if the image on the screen is not changing, we still have to keep refreshing the display. That's the basic characteristic of this architecture. Also, the operating system is periodically waking up. We say it's responding to ticks. It wakes up every few milliseconds to service any devices that may have required attention in the interval that it was shut down. And that brings the platform up to full power. What if we could change the platform in such a way as to keep most of it or more of it at idle for longer periods of time? One example of doing that is to create something called display self-refresh, so that the chipset and the processor and the memory system can be shut down and a small amount of memory, only that required to refresh the display, is kept running. We can also modify the operating system to use a variable tick to only wake up when it's absolutely necessary. It may require some changes to the way devices behave and certain interfaces are defined, but now the operating system is bringing the system up only when it's absolutely necessary. We've actually created an experimental system. Whoops, I'll get ahead of myself here. We've actually created an experimental system you see here. And Doyle, are you going to give me a hand here? You had me in a panic for a second, Doyle. I thought you had gone for coffee or something. You know, the Starbucks is right across the street. So we have an experimental system here that implements exactly the capabilities you see on the screen. This is our Silverton platform. Believe it or not, this big motherboard is actually the electrical prototype for a handtop system, an ultra-mobile PC. Clearly, this was not the mechanical prototype, or it would be vastly smaller. And here's the display subsystem with the self-refresh capability. So I'll back up here. So we can see the power meter running. The platform's operating at about 6.5 watts, which is still more than we'd want to see in an ultra-mobile device. All right, and now I'm going to ask Doyle to enable this extended idle mode that I was just describing. It'll take just a moment. And then you'll see the power begin to drop substantially after a few transients. So now we're in extended idle. The screen has the image, Well, that looks like Robbie and me on stage last fall. And we're running at 3.5 watts. So we've dropped from 6.5 watts to 3 watts, a 3-watt power saving in the platform, just about 40% in the platform as a result of implementing extended idle mode. Now, I want to make one point very clear, that we haven't lost any responsiveness in the system. So if the user was to move the mouse, you'd see it immediately come out of extended idle mode and begin processing those mouse clicks. So from a user point of view, no change in system behavior, even though battery life, for example, in a mobile platform would be greatly extended. Now, to take this one step further, you ready, Doyle? I'm going to turn off the motherboard.
Yes,
all right, so the power is now off on the motherboard. We've kept power running to the display subsystem, if you want to disconnect the cable to prove that there's no sleight of hand here. And the picture of me and Robbie continues on the screen. And most significantly, the power is now down to only 1 watt. So the potential for managing power at the platform level is really great. And it's something we need to address and take the opportunity to improve in all of our systems. So here we are, looking at a new generation of energy-efficient systems. Harnessing this technology, delivering this technology to our customers is going to require tremendous cooperation, particularly at the platform level. It's not just an operating system issue, although there's operating system work to do, not just an issue of I/O devices, communication, storage, and display. It may even include some standards issues. We look at the standard interfaces, we see that some of them actually require the platform to wake up to service various device needs. I think this is something we can all come together as a community and really address and really deliver benefits to the end user. So here we are at the dawn of a new age of energy-efficient performance. It's really our job to imagine and our job to create and deliver this technology to the industry. The opportunities are great. The challenges are great also. But we together, we collectively, are the agents of change. We can help make energy-efficient performance a reality for the industry. It's our job to do it. And I want to encourage everyone this morning to immerse themselves in the technology here at IDF, to learn what you need to learn, and really have a truly memorable experience at IDF. Let's all leap ahead and have a great Intel Developer Forum. Thanks very much.